Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM channel 80. On your smart speaker, say play ESPN. You can download the podcast, but you know, when we're done. And we're presented by Progressive Insurance. Good morning, Key. Good morning, Harry Douglas, in for J. Will today.
What's up, fellas? Glad What's to happening? Join y'all this morning.
Good to have you, live and in person.
Oh,
Harry,
yeah.
Harry's not playing around. Flies up here to be in studio.
Yeah, don't worry about that, Max.
Don't worry about it. That's what Bill Belichick says. Don't worry about it. What's going on, Bill? Don't worry about that. I'm good.
The process.
Concern yourself with how I'm doing. That was 98.5, the sports hub that you heard, the sound coming in. Let's listen to it again. Here's Bill Belichick, New England Patriots head coach, in case you weren't aware, Key, on yes. whether Matt Patricia or Joe Judge will be calling plays when the season starts.
Do you know if one will call plays when the regular season arrives?
Yeah, well, don't worry about that. We'll work it out.
So have you decided?
We're going through a process, just like everything else on this team.
Bill, man, but I'll worry about what I worry about. Maybe you're not worried about it. The fans want to know. What do you think, Key?
Don't worry about it. Look, clearly they know what they're doing. I guess a lot of people find it fascinating because there's no real offensive coordinator being named or anything like that. This has happened in Bill Belichick's coaching career before. Like I said the other day, we had Matt Castle on. They went, I think it was 11-5, 10-6, whichever record that was. 11-5.
Yeah.
Okay, and they didn't have a traditional offensive coordinator. They had a quarterback coach in Bill O'Brien, who eventually, 2 years later, became the offensive coordinator. But Bill Belichick that year had his hands in the play calling. And I know everybody's like, oh, well, they had Tom Brady. Tom Brady didn't play. So it's one of those weird dynamics, and I get it, Harry. Everybody wants a coordinator. They don't believe in Matt Patricia because Matt Patricia's tenure in Detroit looked a certain way. They don't believe in Joe Judge because his tenure at the Giants looked a certain way. And so you got two failed head coaches that are now back in New England, and they're calling plays, so people don't trust it.
I say for me, when I look at it, if it was to happen to a second-year quarterback, I think Mac Jones is the person – that you would want to happen to because he's so smart. He played for a guy, Nick Saban, in college in Alabama, and he won, and he was very, very intelligent. I actually know a wide receiver who's going to be in the Hall of Fame someday who speaks very highly of him and thought very highly of him when he was coming into the draft as well and didn't mind actually playing with him. But when I look at this, though, Key, I think that the part that I'm more so worried about is in the heat of the moment in games, right, getting into the Florida game, calling the right plays. You get to a point to where you're down and you need to string together a hell of a drive to get a win. Can you stack those plays together? 2 minute offense, which ones do you, you tell the quarterback, hey, I want you to go here, right hash, left hash, all those type of things matter. So I can't just diminish it, but I will say Bill Belichick, I mean, he's won 6 Super Bowls and that's as a head coach, not to mention what he won when he was an assistant with the New York Giants under Bill Parcells. But I do believe at some point they can't keep having these tryouts. Okay, we're going to let Joe Judge call half the plays. We're going to let Matt Patricia call the rest of them. I do think they just need to stick with one guy, make that decision, and live with it. And where you need to correct things after that, correct them.
Yeah, I think, though, it's the preseason one. I've been on a team where I had 3 guys calling plays during the preseason. Sean Payton, Mo Carthon, and Todd Haley. They called plays during the preseason. Didn't mean anything to us. We had to understand certain rhythms and things that happen. A lot of times coaches do things in preparation for what if all of a sudden Matt Patricia can't call plays in a regular season game, but Joe Judge has had the experience and vice versa in the preseason, and we get to the regular season and with the things in the world that we're going through with all the different issues that all of a sudden one of those coaches are missing, and now – boom, you got a guy who has some experience at calling plays in the preseason. And I've always been a belief that good head coaches could do many different things.
Mm-hmm.
Good assistant coaches could coach many different positions. And Bill Belichick once was an offensive coach before he became a defensive coach. and vice versa with Matt Patricia, who was quality control on the offensive side of the ball when he first started with the New England Patriots. So there's experience dealing with offenses. It's just not all defense. And I know in people's mind, that's the way they view mm-hmm. Matt Patricia in particular.
First of all, why are they interested, Bill or Key? Like, why are they interested? Because people are bored without football, right?
You're right
people,
about that.
Like, if you get bored enough, you'll watch, hey, kids, before the internet, you watch two raindrops race down the window and bet your friend who's which one's going to get there. Of course they want to know all the details. And by the way, Key, I think the last time Belichick, like the last time Josh McDaniels left, right? I think they went 14-2. Like you were talking about the Matt Castle year when Brady got hurt.
Was it 14-2?
I want to say because you're talking. About, I know the year you're talking about after they had the undefeated season when they lost in the Super Bowl. They
no,
went
I mean,
11-5.
I'm talking about the first year.
I don't remember the
in 08 when Josh left to Denver. I think the next year they went. They'd have been 11-5 so many damn times.
Yeah, yeah, right. But I think one of the years that Bill did a similar thing, they were 14-2. I know this because on some show I just read this stat the other day.
Well, that might be the case.
By the way, we're the best offense in the league.
Put it this way.
Here's the difference. Yeah. Difference though, they had a better defense as well.
Mm-hmm. No, they did, and they had a better quarterback. There's no question about it. They had a better defense, a better quarterback. I get all of that, but. The mere fact is that they did not have a play caller. Like, they didn't have, like, they, nobody, it just, and Tom wasn't calling the play. Somebody had to call him.
I want you to, like, tell me more about that. When you said, look, a good coach is a good coach, right? They can coach a lot of different things. They just, what is it? Just because at a certain level, they just understand the game. So, in your experience, the best coaches you had, could they have coached either side of the ball? Did they?
Absolutely. Best coach. First of all, Coach Tony Dungy played on the offensive side of the ball. He was a quarterback at the University of Minnesota. He's a Hall of Fame head coach now, and he moved to the defensive backfield. Eventually, he became the defensive coordinator, and then all of a sudden he hit the Tampa 2 defense was born, and everybody in the league for about 15 years tried to duplicate that and do the same things. Coach Bill Parcells coached everything on the field. He coached the quarterbacks, the running backs. The defense, I mean, he was all over the board coaching guys at different things, okay? Bill Belichick was our defensive coordinator, but he was also coaching other positions and even at times coaching some players on the offensive side of the ball. So when you think about it, you can train yourself to do many things. Todd Haley never played a snap or a down in the National Football League, and I would argue with many people that he is one of the best wide receiver coaches in the history of the NFL, and one of the brightest minds to ever hold a clipboard up to his mouth in terms of calling plays. And so when you think about it, and that's just those guys. That's just those guys that I've had experience with that I look at and I go, he can coach anything. My college coach in John Robinson, anything. My offensive coordinator in Mike Riley in college was a offensive coordinator, one of the brightest minds in college football. Also, was a defensive back under Bear Bryant at the University of Alabama. He also came to USC as our defensive coordinator on a Monday, and on Friday he switched to the offensive coordinator because we got the defensive coordinator that they wanted later on. So coaches can do many different things, man.
And I also believe, though, Key, it helps them. Like I'll use the Atlanta Falcons for an example. Arthur Smith, he coached a lot of years on the defensive side of the ball. He played offensive line at the University of North Carolina. He became a tight ends coach for the Titans and then went on to be an offensive coordinator. Now as a head coach and as a play caller as well, he's able to understand the way defensive coaches and defensive-minded people think. So it makes play calling a little bit more easier, per se, because you know what defenses are thinking. So I think it's just a luxury that you see a lot of coaches in today's game are actually doing more of. Those guys will probably stay on the defensive side of the ball, then move the offense, or start on offense and move the defense. So you can have that honus. They also brought a guy over, Steve Jackson, who was coaching the secondary last year for the Bengals. He's in the wide receiver room now for the Falcons, trying to give those guys a different perspective on what defenses are thinking and secondaries are thinking as well.
Think about what Raheem Morris did,
yes,
Harry.
That's another
Raheem
one.
Yep. Morris was a receiver coach. In the middle of the year, they switched him to be the defensive coordinator, for the Atlanta Falcons. Then he became the head coach for the Atlanta Falcons. Then he leaves and goes to the Rams as a defensive coordinator, but he was a receiver coach in Atlanta.
Yep.
And before that, he was a head coach in Tampa, but then a defensive back coach, a quality control guy. I mean, you move all over the board.
If you know the game and can coach it, that travels.
Oh,
is there too much hype around Trey Lance? Keyshawn, J. Willimax, Harry Douglas in for Key today. ESPN Radio.
No,
sorry,
he ain't
in for
me because I'm here.
In for Jay. He was in for you for so long, I just automatically. We're on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN2.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Get in an Uber to go home yesterday, guys, right? And the Uber's pointed in the wrong direction, right outside Seaport. I'm like, oh, you got to turn around to where we're going. You know, we're going the wrong way. So the driver starts taking us still the wrong way, but it's to get on the FDR, right? Because the tip of Manhattan, the FDR turns into the West Side Highway, which then goes up the West Side, FDR on the East Side, right?
Yeah, that happened to me before.
Okay. So as she's getting on the FDR north, I'm like, no, you want south, because we're going south on the FDR, we're going to wrap around to the West Side Highway, go north. She goes, no, because this becomes north, because we're going up the other way. I'm like, by that time, it's too late. We're on the FDR north, going the wrong way and into traffic, ambulances, cop cars, everything. There's some kind of problem. Takes forever to turn around. Finally, you know, go the other way, finally get home. I look on my Uber receipts today, pops up twice as much it was supposed to be, Key. So I'm like, hold on, time out.
Well, that's because of the time you extended your time with them.
Yeah, right. I didn't extend my time with them. She extended my time with them. I didn't do anything.
Well, that's the old taxi trick. Max, come on now.
Yeah, come on.
You know
man.
The taxi trick.
Come on,
I'm
man.
I'm going to this address, and it's usually take 5 minutes there, and then they take another extra 20 minutes.
Take you around the block
so
three times.
You got bamboozled.
Oh, no. So I go on Uber. I got my refund, but like, you know,
went on Uber to get a refund for $4.
No, it was like $15. I'm like, no, you're not going to do me like
Key,
that. So
it adds up. You damn right, Max.
Yeah.
It adds
so,
up.
No, I get it.
Uber makes it hard. It's not that it makes it hard. They don't make it hard for you once you figure out how to get the refund. They make that easy. But to even get to that place, they make it purposely, it seems to me, hard to do, Key. Like, hold on, what am I
doing? Well, yeah, that's just like when you're ordering things and you have to get subscriptions and you want to see it and then you want to cancel it right after.
Yeah.
They want all your information. And then they go just keep billing you every single month.
Yeah.
That's the same thing. They make it hard for you to disconnect from them. And I can see the same thing, Harry, with Uber and everybody else.
I would tell you this, though. I'll take that Uber over a taxi any day.
Yeah, man.
I don't miss getting in those nasty, smelly cabs.
Do you know what happened?
Well, you can get the same. Now, come on now. All Uber ain't going to be.
Nah,
all
right,
Ubers are not going to be Rolls Royces.
Key, I didn't cancel two Ubers recently. I'm like, okay, there's no way in hell I can get in here. with this Uber smelling like this, looking like this inside.
I done got an Uber for and forgot I was going to catch. I thought I was going to catch the heebie-jeebies.
The heebie-jeebies. Mask up the heebie-jeebie pandemic.
I'm like, how you going to ride around and think people really want to get into this?
Yeah. Well, anyway.
But you're cheap, Max.
What?
Let the lady keep the $10.
Yeah, right, like you would. Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, ESPN 2. Say play ESPN. We pop up on your smart speakers. By the way, if you don't have the ESPN app, I don't know why, but I'm here to help. Download the ESPN app. You see all types of stuff on the ESPN app, wherever you are. You can also listen to the show, one app, one tap, and you can download the podcast. So, talking about, I told you as we went into break last segment, you know, I mentioned Trey Lance and whether he's been too hyped. Hey, Harry, Key, I don't know the answer to that question because I've barely seen the dude. He could be anything. I mean, he got drafted way up high by a smart team with a good offensive mind at the helm who put a lot of draft capital to go get him. So I assume there's a reason for that. They're getting rid of Jimmy G, who's a very capable quarterback. For this guy, Trey Lance, I assume there's a reason for that. But, Key, I can't honestly tell you I know if he's too hyped or not.
You know, I don't know. He's no more hyped than any of the other quarterbacks that came in last year when they were rookies playing. He's no more hyped than Zach Wilson or Mac Jones or Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields. I just think that he's replacing a guy who took a team to two NFC championship games and was a nice throw away from winning a Super Bowl and getting a $400 million extension. He's replacing that guy. But what I would say is I'm sure that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan has done everything within their power to get him ready for this moment. How much he plays tonight against the Green Bay Packers, we don't know. We'll see because he certainly needs the work. But what I would take from this is Kyle Shanahan isn't too far removed from his dad and Mike Shanahan. Mike Shanahan went through a number of young quarterbacks, whether it was RG3 or Jay Cutler or Brian Greasy. They're not afraid to play young quarterbacks with little to no experience at all and still have some success at doing it. So I got to put the trust in Kyle Shanahan now that he made this move, because me personally, I probably wouldn't have right now. But because of what they did to go up to get him, I certainly have an understanding of why they want to move on from Jimmy G and start the Trey Lance era right now.
Key, I don't know if you saw it on ESPN2. We just put up a graphic of best quarterbacks under 25 or notable ones. Boy, Justin Herbert smoking the field. We put up the QBR. Not that that's it's a pretty good thumbnail sketch. 65.6 for Herbert. I think 50 means you're average, right? 65.6. He's 10 points ahead of the next closest guy, who's Kyler Murray. And then there's Joe Burrow, 54.3.
I hate to say it. The QBR stuff don't really mean a whole lot to me.
Put it this way, it'll correlate.
I'm not trying to poo-poo people's statistical life, but ain't
nowhere
in the hell.
It'll correlate with what.
Ain't nowhere in the hell I'm taking Joe Burrow and Mac Jones and all them over Lamar Jackson. I'm just not doing it.
No, but first of all, neither am I. But there are outliers or guys who the stats don't really cover the right way. They don't tell the whole story. But by and large, it's going to correlate to who you think is good,
I get it. I understand that. I'm just looking at that. I'm like, Jalen Hurts. Tua ain't better than Jalen Hurts. I don't care if he did win the starting job in Alabama. Stop it.
It is dependent on a lot
of
things.
Just stop it.
I think for me, though, when I look at Trey Lance, I think that's the part about it, when I look at it through my eyes and my lens, that does have me excited, because there's so much unknown and potentially what he can be. But you look at the flip side of that, you can't just look at the pros, you got to look at the cons. There's an opportunity for him to spiral downwards as well. But the way that team is set up, he is set up for success more so than, I'll say, any second-year quarterback going into this year. You look at what he has around him, and Kyle Juszczyk and George Kittle and Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk and the run game that Kyle Shanahan has, and the way that he can utilize his legs, and the misdirection that you have, the defense. He's set up for success more so than everyone. But I think for me, I will put him in the top 10 of those quarterbacks right now, because there is so much unknown, but I also seen some of those quarterbacks be terrible. and be bad last year.
You got evidence. You don't have evidence on him, so that doesn't count against him. Yeah. You know, I'll tell you something else I look at, and this doesn't always apply, but a lot of times it does, more than you would think. Look at the number. Look at the age. Look at that number next to a dude, right? So take a guy like Lamar Jackson, Key. A lot of people don't know. I'll keep saying it. He's a month younger than Joe Burrow. So he has done so much already at a certain age that if this continues, he'll be among the all-time greats, right? If this continues. You get a guy like Mac Jones who's 23 and experienced and put in the right situation, it's easier for him, right? He's more set up for success. Trey Lance is still only 21 years old. Even, I know it sounds like ridiculous, it's just one calendar year. Even you mentioned Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, they're a year older than him. But that makes a difference at early in a player's career, right? Just an amount of experience.
I think it does, depending on the situation. If I dropped any of those quarterbacks in last year's draft class in New England with Bill Belichick and what the New England Patriots were doing, calling plays with Josh McDaniels, they would have had the same success as Mac Jones or better. No, nothing worse. Same or better based on their skill set. If I drop any of those dudes, because let's face it, he wasn't asked to do a whole lot. He really wasn't. He asked to keep the ball at the line of scrimmage of 5 yards above the line of scrimmage. We're not asking you to do nothing. We just don't want you to screw it up. Right situation, right circumstances for him. And I think what happens is these young quarterbacks, they've got to be in the right environment to be successful. Mm-hmm. If you're not in the right environment, the right situation and circumstances with the right head coaches, you will see guys get run out of town. That's just the reality of it.
Look, and Key, I think that's for just about every young player that goes into the National Football League, right? It's all about fit and the team that you're on and the culture. The culture means everything. Just look at Trevor Lawrence going into that toxic culture in Jacksonville with Urban Meyer. And you can't sit up here and tell me that didn't affect his play and the way he approached every game. Now, he's going to still be a pro. But when you got your head coach out there getting grinded on, your head coach in the news every chance he gets, then he throws you, talking about something, I had a talk with Trevor about it. Why are you bringing my name in this? Don't be bringing my name and me going on my bachelor party into the situation.
And this kid is 21 and you're 50-something and you don't have enough sense to keep his name out of your mouth and you get in trouble. Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't think there is another sport that is so dependent upon teammates as football. Like, even the NBA, basketball, you can say, well, a player in a bad situation, you can't win. That may be, but you can show what you can do. Yep. But football is the type of sport where you can't even really show what you can do if you're in the wrong situation.
So, I always tell you, Max, if Bill Parcells didn't land in my lap, I might be pumping your gas at the gas station.
How's this dude know so much about football? He's pumping it. Trey Lance versus Jordan Love is today's hot ticket. Hot Ticket is brought to you by Vivid Seats, where you earn rewards with every purchase. Vivid Seats rewards is your ticket to more tickets. Vivid Seats, life happens live. I don't think you could have gotten to the mountaintop with Kotite?
No.
Speaking of...
were you like unlettered or supreme?
Speaking of Trevor Lawrence, one analyst had a bold prediction about him. You're going to hear that after Key has this from Granger.
For all the ones who get it done, Granger is always there to help. Granger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and an experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people even safer. So simply just call or click Granger.com or use Harry's new Range Rover and stop by.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Oh, you're hitting me in my feels now, Yates. The full dead bag boy. All right, you're gonna have to start bleeping this. Okay, now, Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, Harry Douglas in for Jay today. See that, Key? I got it right, just like that. Picked it right up. In for Jay today. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. So, Dan Graziano, guys, our ESPN NFL insider extraordinaire, frequent appearances on this show, and by the way, this just in, tremendous show, 2 p.m. Eastern, handsome host, ESPN.
What kind of host?
Handsome. It's not for his hosting skills that he's there, Harry. It's eye candy. He said this on Get Up.
My bold prediction is that the Jacksonville Jaguars make the playoffs. I know Damian Woody told me earlier in this show that I was nuts, but I think Trevor Lawrence is going to just explode this year. I think Doug Peterson is a great coach and exactly the right coach that they need, and a massive, massive upgrade, obviously, over what they had last year. I wouldn't be surprised if the Jaguars made some noise.
Before everyone gets it, Dan Graziano's head, let me just stress, this was a bold prediction.
Bold as hell.
He understood the assignment.
Yes,
that
he
is
did.
A bold prediction. Whew. Key, what do you think? Now, if you ask me, I'm going to get it his head anyway. Come on, Dan. Make the playoffs. There's seven slots, three wild cards.
Playoffs?
You got the Colts and the Titans in the South. One of those two teams probably going to be a wild card, unless it's the Patriots, because you got to figure the Bills probably win the East, or maybe Miami if Tua takes a step forward. All four teams in the West can make it, and the North is crazy. How are the Jags going to make the playoffs, Key?
It's a bold prediction, though, right? It's just bold. He's just putting it out there. But every single year, there's a Cincinnati. There's an Arizona Cardinal. Every single year, there's a team, and sometimes two teams, that kind of come out of nowhere that you didn't expect, that had a bad year the year before, and then they find themselves Philadelphia Eagle-like, backdooring into the playoffs, slow start like the Eagles a year ago. Then all of a sudden it got going, and they wind up in the playoffs, although they got thumped by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in that particular playoff game. But there's always a team. So even though it's bold, it's not out of the realm that it could possibly happen.
And, Harry, it makes sense because – bad teams get high draft picks. A lot of times they use them on quarterbacks because that's why they were bad. First year, quarterback's not going to do anything. And then all of a sudden in that second year, oh, wait a minute, things change. He learns something and the team gets a lot better. It makes sense.
A very, very bold prediction. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't even think it's going to come close. You mentioned that division, Tennessee Titans. And then you see Indianapolis Colts, what they did in getting Matt Ryan. Now, what leads me not to believe that, when you look at their schedule, you got to play those two teams twice in the division. They also play the Chargers, Eagles, Broncos, Raiders, Chiefs, Ravens, Lions, and Cowboys. Now, my bold prediction for that scenario for me would be the Detroit Lions. Because when you look at their skill position players, they have a DeAndre Swift, Jamal Williams. They drafted Jameson Williams, although he has to come back from that ACL. DJ Shark, they have him. Amon Ross St. Brown. I like what he started to show towards the middle and end of the year last year. Jared Goff is going to be that chess piece there. They have the tight end of TJ Hockenson. So I like the Lions in that bold prediction that they're going to make the playoffs more so than the Jacksonville Jaguars making the playoffs.
You know, would it count as a bold prediction to say the Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl? Is that a bold prediction?
No, not for me. Even though they didn't make the playoffs last year, because they did have the one seed before Lamar Jackson got hurt.
Yeah.
And you look at how their roster is constructed. I don't think that would be a bold prediction for a lot of people.
But I think that's going to be my pick. Like, the closer Ravens? We get. Yeah, I just think about what Lamar did last year until they got hurt. He was having a season for the ages when you consider what was around him. But we just got through talking about in a previous segment how football is the one sport where no matter how great you are, if you're in the wrong situation or if you don't have the right things around you, it's not like the basketball where, all right, they're not winning, but I could see that guy is great. But Lamar had nobody on the team. Everyone was hurt. And they had the best record in the AFC, Key. So, like, that would be – I don't know if that's a bold prediction or not. Certainly taking the Jags to make the playoffs is a very bold prediction. That means that you believe in Trevor Lawrence. Now, we're talking about Trey Lance. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Trey Lance is. I just haven't seen him enough. But I saw a lot of Trevor Lawrence in college. And if you ask me of all the young quarterbacks or second-year quarterbacks who I think has the best chance to succeed, I'll take Trevor Lawrence because he's big, fast, has an arm. I saw him win a championship in college. He played very well. I saw him throw an interception, you know, early in the following season, chase the dude down and tackle him in the open field. Like, I've seen him do a lot of stuff. Harry, do you believe in Trevor Lawrence?
I do, and I think the best thing that happened to his career was actually Doug Peterson being his head coach. And I say that because we've seen Doug Peterson with the Eagles and when he had Carson Wentz, when Carson Wentz wasn't not showing up in big moments, helped lead that team to a Super Bowl. And at that time, Carson Wentz was an MVP candidate before he got hurt. Also, I think Doug Peterson, he's won a Super Bowl. He's played the quarterback position in the National Football League. So he can give Trevor Lawrence a lot of insight that Urban Meyer couldn't give him. Right, I've been there. I've done it. I've had success in this league, both as a not so much as a player because of starting, but a player because being on a team. But then as a head coach and winning a Super Bowl, so I think there's going to be a lot of progression. But damn, let's be honest now. They won three games last year.
Yeah, if we went four, he's going in the right direction.
The,
right?
The year before, they won one game and they had the number one pick the last 2 years, and then. The year before that, they won six games, and that's when they drafted Josh Allen seventh overall.
So, Key, if you make that bold prediction as Dan did, you're believing in two things. Doug Peterson, who's won a Super Bowl. Okay, I get that. And Trevor Lawrence. Do you believe in Trevor Lawrence? Is he going to be a good NFL quarterback?
I think he will be because of Doug Peterson, because he's not in the situation he was in a year ago with Urban Meyer, a guy that couldn't figure out how to be a head coach in the National Football League. I think if you go and you talk about Doug Peterson and understanding a guy like Harry said who played in the league, who understands the pulse of the league, who understands players' mentality. So when you put all that together with also understanding taking over bad teams. Remember, he did take over the Philadelphia Eagles. Mm-hmm. The Philadelphia Eagles were a bad football team when he got that job. I mean, that's the reality of it. You don't get hired unless the team is bad. And so he's been in this situation, so there will be no panic that sets in from him, from his standpoint. Now it's up to he has to get these young players up to speed to understand how to be professionals in the National Football League. And once they start to win, it becomes contagious. And then it just spreads across the entire team. And everybody understands how to be pros and go out there every single Sunday and Monday nights and Thursday nights and run through a wall and do all of the sort of things that'll make you a champion. I think that the Jaguars organization got this one in particularly right. And it's for everything that people say about Trent Baalke, the general manager, and people not wanting to work with him because he's hard-headed at times and he won't listen. He has built Super Bowl contending winning teams before. So it's not like he does not know how to build a roster. So with that in mind, with those two guys, I think the Jaguars could potentially be headed in the right direction. Now, whether or not they make the playoffs this year, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was intentionally, but it's very unlikely to happen for a variety of reasons we already talked about. But I do think, Harry, what you said is right. Like, it's not just what Key just went over, the reasons why you should be optimistic about the new regime, right? But it's not like the new regime is taking over for an okay regime.
Yeah.
They're good. They have a track record of success, and they're taking over for, like, you're going to look at the at what Urban Meyer just did and say, is that the worst head coaching job in the history of the NFL?
It's oh, absolutely. Oh, no.
It's possible.
It's no, possible.
It's been a couple. I think, I'm trying to think, Lou Holtz was pretty bad when he was with Richie Kotai was pretty bad with the Jets. yeah, Gee, I'm just trying to think. It was a bunch of dudes. What my guy at Rutgers now.
Greg Schiano
was bad in Tampa. Yeah, I mean, it's been some bad.
But not as bad as Urban Meyer was a special kind
well,
of
see,
bad.
Well, see, Urban Meyer was bad because Urban Meyer
was bad
doing
off
bad
the field
guys.
And in the building. He was
bad
in both places.
Yeah, he was doing bad guy things. He was doing stupid stuff that didn't make sense, hiring the wrong people and then being caught on video. All of that sort of stuff kind of...
Yo, when you think about it, I wasn't even... Think about how bad he was. He would say stupid things. He would do stupid things. The team was awful. You're hearing now it's the most toxic environment ever. He was... You could not be more of a disaster.
That college mentality, man.
I was about to say, Harry, what he did is brought that college mentality to the NFL. And when you're dealing with grown-ass men making millions of dollars, that's not going to fly. It doesn't work that way. This is not 18, 19-year-old kids that are at your mercy to make it to the next level. It doesn't work that way. Guys are already in the pros, so you got to treat it a certain way.
That's the classic mistake that a college coach makes and the questions we have when he takes over an NFL team. But, like, there was that Key and a whole lot. Like
I wonder how much money was made in Vegas when Urban took the job.
Yeah.
How many people laid down bets that he would be gone in the first year, he would fail, all that. I wonder how much, you know, those parlay bets or whatever y'all
what
do you
call them? What do you call them, prop bets?
Not parlay. What do you call those?
Yeah, prop bets.
Yeah.
I wonder how much money was made on prop bets that he would fail.
But my boy
Irvin was out here getting his little grind on.
Also, think of the hires of assistant coaches. Why would you hire assistants and strength coaches and stuff like everything was a problem. Yeah. Just like once in a while, don't make a problem. So now he's gone. If you just replaced him with anyone, you're going to get better.
But look, Max, if I was a college AD,
yeah,
and I'm looking to win.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right. No, he has a track record. Yeah, yeah.
It's NIL time now, baby. Let's go.
Yeah.
I'm putting an addendum in his contract, though.
You know all that dirty stuff that everyone used? Yeah, we could just do it out in the open now. It's not dirty anymore.
All that dirty stuff you used to do? Yeah. We could do it in the open.
Yeah, we could
do
it. My boy Urban out there like this. Yeah. Out there getting his groove on.
So if you replace him with anyone, you're going to get better, but you're replacing him with a Super Bowl winner, who, by the way, took a big athletic quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And has Carson Wentz ever looked the same since then? Nope. Right? So, and Trevor Lawrence got more than Carson Wentz to me. We shall see. You can tune into an AL East rivalry Sunday as the Red Sox host the Yankees. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio. This means I'm going to be tired on Monday. ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. And at 7 p.m., ESPN, Yanks and Red Sox. All right, we're going to play Fill in the Blank, Pat Costello.
Guys, fill in the blank. Week one of the NFL preseason is blank.
Trash.
Key, what is wrong with you?
Well, he said fill in the blank.
Well, you fill in the blank, preseason. Harry, if you don't like trash.
He said one word,
I'll
trash.
I'll say week one of the preseason is week one, just what it is, of preseason. I'm not going to call it trash.
Remember when I said that Graziano understood the assignment? Apparently, you can't say it's week one. That's the same thing.
I don't want to say it's trash. It is what it is.
Watch this.
So let me
week
ask you
one
this.
Is
so
boring. That's how I'll fill it in. See, it's boring.
I don't feel like that.
You don't? I think it's boring.
Like, I Harry, enjoy so watching. You know I like watching football, though.
Yeah, I know.
So, you watched all 8 quarters of football last night.
Check this out, though. I was driving to the airport. I got off air at 7 p.m. I had to rush to the airport. And I shouldn't even be probably admitting this on national TV or radio, but I had my iPad right there as I was driving.
Arrest this man.
So who was number 49 at corner?
I don't know, but listen.
Late third quarter.
He was playing hard, whoever he was.
I know who number 33 for the Giants probably got cut last night. And if he didn't get cut at this wave, he going to get cut soon. Well, all the yardage he gave up and the fouls that he was getting for the Giants.
Listen. Everyone's starved for NFL football at this point, but it's like the Eddie Murphy line. Like, if you throw a starving man a cracker, he's like, "Well, what is this? A Ritz? This is delicious, right?" But I still don't even feel that way about preseason.
I can't do it in week one, Harry. I can't lie to the people, dog. It's trash.
All right, so let me fix this for Harry. Week one of the preseason is Aaron Robinson's last game with the Giants, apparently.
Yeah.
The winner of the AFC West will be blank.
Chargers. I'm going with the Chargers. I like the offseason additions that they had. I think that defense with Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa, they're going to create turnovers, a lot of sacks. Adding J.C. Jackson, a shutdown corner, a guy that you could put on the best receiver, is going to pay dividends. I also think that's going to allow Asante Samuel Jr., the son of Asante Samuel, Mr. Pick-Six himself, to allow him to get a lot of interceptions this year as well. Then you have Derwin James. They're going to get that football, create turnovers, get it back to Justin Herbert, and allow him to do his thing offensively.
You know, I don't know where I'm at today. I think maybe yesterday I stayed at Kansas City. The day before I might have said the Chargers. I mean, I just keep going back and forth. I'm gonna give Kansas City the benefit of the doubt on this one. I think it'll be Kansas City that'll win it. Although the Chargers are very intriguing, everything that they've done. You know, you always got to look at these defensive backs that come out of New England and transfer and go to other teams from New England, like J.C. Jackson did as a shutdown corner in New England. For whatever reason, those guys' skill set starts to diminish when they leave the New England Patriots secondary and go to other places, and that's just been the history of those guys. And I don't know if it's a scheme or whatever. I'm sure he'll do well under Brandon Staley in Los Angeles for the Chargers. But Kansas City is still Kansas City until somebody takes care of him. It's their division.
Yeah, I'm with you, Key. The Chargers, to me, top to bottom, might have the best team in the NFL, even though they've never been to the playoffs. Justin Herbert's never been to the playoffs. I think Justin Herbert's going to win MVP.
Me too.
Like, when I think of the AFC, I think of the Chargers and the Ravens, actually. But I can't go against the Chiefs and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes until someone proves otherwise. Like, take it from the champs, and then I'll believe it. Them dudes host the AFC championship game every single year. Mahomes took the ball as a starter and has never not been in the AFC championship game since then. Now, he's not going to do it every year of his career. Maybe this will be the year, but I can't go against it till I see it.
But I'll tell you why I picked the Chargers. Because I seen the Chargers beat them last year in the first game. The second game, if it wasn't Brandon Staley and his play calling and decision making,
they win again.
They would have beat them twice in 1 year.
Yep. And by the way, Justin Herbert, first time he touched the ball, almost beat Mahomes early, and he didn't even know he was going to have the ball.
Unexpectedly starting that game.
Has Brandon Staley learned his lesson from a year ago, though?
Well, here's the thing, though, Keith.
As a second-year head coach, as a sophomore now, the mistakes he made as a freshman, will he repeat those same mistakes again? Because he cost the Chargers, I would say, probably 4 to 5 games last year.
I agree with you there. And here's the difference, I think, in it, though, Key. If he didn't, his defense would be better this year. They were terrible against the run last year. They put more players on that defensive side of the ball. Just in case he makes those same mistakes, that defense can probably make up for it now.
Everyone looks at Josh Allen and thinks, that's the dude, that's Mahomes' rival, because they had that incredible playoff game. I look at Justin Herbert as Mahomes' rival in terms of, like, who's the guy who you look at and just like, damn, look at that, right? Herbert is the guy to me. We shall see.
The most overhyped QB heading into this NFL season is fill in the blank.
Most overhyped. Well, he just mentioned it. Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, Max mentioned it. Josh Allen is a phenomenal QB. One of the highest paid quarterbacks in the National Football League. Led his team to multiple playoff victories and turned things around since getting Stephon Diggs. But we feel like, I mean us at ESPN, for whatever reason, Josh Allen is the flavor of the month. I mean, we feel like this is the second coming of Dan Marino. I love hype. It's cool. I get it. But we do a whole lot, boy. We really put the yeast on it.
I cannot agree with that, Key. I'm going to go with Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Dak Prescott in that situation. And we're going to find out a lot about Dak this year because he's not surrounded by the greatest people. He doesn't have the best offensive line. He only has one number one wide receiver in CeeDee Lamb. So can his skill set, can his play make up for what they're lacking offensively?
Man, y'all.
But Harry,
yeah, talk to
me. How is Dak Prescott overhyped? Where are they hyping Dak Prescott up? All people do is bash Dak Prescott.
I think you're talking about rated. You're saying overrated. And the hype means like the media coverage, right?
That's what I'm focused on.
Yeah, they don't hype up Dak Prescott. Nobody hypes up him. Dan Orlovsky comes around and says, all Dan Orlovsky ever says is that Dak Prescott is that he ain't this, he ain't that. Da, da, da. He ain't overhyped. Overhyped is Josh Allen.
Oh, I see what's going on here. Key, you're reacting to NFL Live. you're reacting to the show you're on. We're reacting to the whole media and the odds makers and everybody. Yeah. Key's like, man, all I know is I go to work every day. I got to hear this dude talking about Josh Allen. No, I think you guys picked the right two guys. It's a tough call because Josh Allen's favored to win MVP. Yeah, he's the best in the league. Da 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 da. And I think he's great. But I think they put a little on it. I agree. And Dak Prescott
is hyped,
Cowboys quarterback, hyped, completely hyped.
And two other guys that's overhyped is Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow.
Those are overhyped guys. Hold on, no.
Because you got to do it again. Yeah, you can't
overhype
them.
All of a sudden,
Cincinnati's going to go to the Super Bowl every single year. Joe Burrow's gonna run out of bounds and throw the ball back across his body, and the Raiders are all just gonna stand there this year and look. And that you gotta look at it the way it needs to be looked at.
Key, Joe Burrow had the greatest college season ever.
He ain't in college.
I'm talking about like why you would hype him. Greatest college season ever, followed by, and no one even disputes it, greatest game ever in the history of college football, did it in the championship game against Trevor Lawrence. Drafted number one overall, first time he starts a full season, comes one throw away from winning the Super Bowl, and he walks in there with a mink coat and shades, and when people ask if it's real, he says, "What I make, it better be real." Joe Burrow's not overhyped. He's hyped just right.
I understand the infatuation with him, Max. Yeah, man. I love him. That is the greatest thing. He's cool because he walked in with a mink and a chain, and he got the
hat turned. He almost won the Super Bowl.
Get all that. He falls into that category. But that's overhyped, though, because people feel like the Bengals are going back to the Super Bowl. People feel like Justin Herbert is getting ready to lead the Chargers to the Super Bowl. Guys that wouldn't be overhyped would be Patrick Mahomes, right, Aaron Rodgers, right, Tom Brady.
Those guys aren't overhyped. I need resume. He's an old school football head, Bill Parcells.
No, I need resume. Resume I don't need
guy.
1 year.
Is he overhyped? Key says he is. We're going to continue this.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.